Get myself situated here. If you'll turn to Acts chapter 1, we'll eventually get to that passage. And while you are turning there, that Philippians 3:10 passage that we have set forth as our theme verse for this year is set forth with the purpose of laying a foundation of direction for us. If you have frequented readings of Philippians as I do, it's a great letter of encouragement in the midst of suffering, trial, disappointment. And Paul sort of brings back the purpose of life. It's not just to be happier, to have our wish list fulfilled. It's to know him, know Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection, which flows from that experience of being born again. And then, as we're challenged at that last portion, is to understand his sufferings. Thinking about the sufferings of Christ, it didn't start at the cross. It started when he took on flesh. It started when he became Jesus Christ, the Son of God in the flesh. Philippians 2. He humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So it's from the birth, taking on flesh, to the cross, suffering. And much of our gospel, which, Lord willing, we will get back to Matthew soon, has to do with his ministry, but also the suffering that he endured as he ministered the gospel, as he ministered the message of salvation to all, to the Jew as well as to the Gentile. And we all get excited when we think about possessing the power of his resurrection. The resurrection power is unique. We saw what Jesus did in the life of Lazarus as he was good as dead. He was dead. And Jesus, in a demonstration of his authority, his power, his dunamis, his dynamite, he said, "Lazarus, come forth." That resurrection power, to take that which is dead and make it alive. That resurrection power is the power that saves men from their sin. It makes them once dead, now alive in Christ, spiritually alive before a living God. And that's the life that we're to be demonstrating day in and day out, good, bad, indifferent, in between, whatever the case may be. We're to be living in the demonstration that we know him. We're walking intimately with him. We're pursuing him. We're spending time with him. We're growing progressively. However little itsy bitsy it might seem to you, growth, growing, obeying him, taking time with him, living obediently to his word, and recognizing that there is a great blessing when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word. What a glory he sheds on our way. Trust and obey him. My goal for us today is to cast a vision. For this year, we're already a month and a half in, and soon to see February go out the back door as quickly as January left us. And so, with that period of time remaining in front of us, I wanted to share a portion of what I shared at our annual meeting, which many of you were not able to be there. And for those of you that were, I trust that this comes across as fresh to you as it will to the others. But you'll notice at the top of the outline in the bulletin for you is catching a vision. My homework today is to cast the vision. So as I'm casting and I'm saying casting, you should be thinking catching. I need to catch this as part of our vision. What is a vision? A vision is possessing a mental picture of something in the future. Having foresight. This is not a prediction. This is not a hocus pocus type of mysterious mystic thing. This is casting something, projecting a goal for the future. And as a church, we must navigate a particular direction to accomplish our best for our master. The one that we're saying we want to know him intimately and the power of his resurrection and the sufferings that he endured, be conformable unto his death. Conforming to him. What did he do in his death? He humbled himself. We're to be living humble lives. We don't serve the Lord beating our chests and going, we're going to defeat the mighty giants of the land as David did. We're here to humbly serve. We're here to humbly proclaim. And yet we're to do so as we draw closer in intimacy into knowing Jesus Christ. Your Savior, if you know him, he wants you to know him intimately. And so as we set forth this goal this morning, is to navigate a particular direction, a vision that is being cast before you today. May it be your prayer, as it's been my prayer for this service today, that it will be caught, understood, clear, and then a commitment to that. Let's pray. Father, help us now as we look into your word. We want your word to be the lamp to our feet and the light to our path as we seek to reach forward to this vision for the ministry of Maranatha Baptist Church in 2024 and beyond. And we'll give you the praise and the glory for what you will do here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Nobody likes to think about suffering, but all of Jesus' earthly ministry has shown times of suffering. The disciples have shown lives of suffering in the ministry. The book of Acts is insight into the Christian life in that first century of Christianity, of the sufferings that were endured for not just proclaiming Christ, but for walking with Christ and intimately knowing Christ. It's in these sufferings that we often find an opportunity to demonstrate our love for the Lord, our loyalty to the Lord, and our allegiance to the Lord, while at the same time with other believers enjoying fellowship. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, we have very clear directions, and they're from the Lord Jesus to his disciples as he ascended back to heaven. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. What do we call this verse? Just say it out loud. Starts with a G, two words. Second word starts with a C. Great Commission. It's a commission of Christ to believers. It's great because it belongs to God. It's God's commission for his people. And the commission is part of this vision for any believer. And believers make up churches. So it becomes a vision for the church. And what we need to understand in this vision is that we need to prepare for tomorrow. Preparation for tomorrow. This is what Jesus was declaring here. Take this commission
It is the vision that you must follow as you seek ahead for tomorrow. It's preparation for tomorrow. Now, we call this a vision. This is Jesus Christ casting his vision on his disciples and those who were in that area that were part of this event, I'll call it, was to recognize that there were marching orders for these ones to pick up for themselves and to move forward in preparation for tomorrow. That's a vision. Now, the preparation for tomorrow is at the same time living in the joy of the Lord today. Sometimes we think about preparation. I recall after landing on the campus of the Bible college that I attended, that was the beginning of training. There was suffering that went on during those 4+ years that I was there. However, it was also an opportunity for me to recognize, hey, listen, this is not just for the moment. This is not just for the diploma. This is not just to check off a list. This is preparation for tomorrow with the joy of today while looking ahead to the challenges of tomorrow. That's what we are in as a church. The challenges ahead of us, they're in the Lord's hands. But today, we serve the Lord with gladness. We rejoice in who he is and the walk that he's called us to participate in with him is certainly a joyful one because it's Jesus that we are a part. We must understand and embrace this biblical concept then of Acts 1:8. Now, I'm not going to tear this down in all of its nuances, but what I do want to state is that there are three main categories that I see here in this verse. The first one is a call to comprehend the text. Comprehend what's being said. Comprehend the fact that there is an imperative in the midst of this verse. It's not a suggestion. It's not an advertisement. It's not a news article. It is an imperative. Ye shall be witnesses. The root word of that word witness, by the way, we get the word martyr from. Who wants to sign up and be a martyr? I don't know you're going to, if you couch it in those terms, I don't know that too many people are going to get excited and say, I've always wanted to be a martyr. Not too often. But this is the idea. We die to self. We represent Jesus Christ. We are martyrs witnessing of the one who brings new life. He's the resurrection and the life. He himself, we're to be witnesses of that. With our lives, with our lips. Comprehend the text. It's an imperative. And then there's the call to comply with the text. Notice how intimate this is. Ye. You, ye again, me, witnesses of me, ye shall, the Holy Ghost come upon you individually, you all is the ye there, plural, and ye, all of you, shall be witnesses unto me, singular. We're to comply with this. If we are seeking to know him intimately and the power of his resurrection and the sufferings of himself, we need to consider the depth of this verse is for all believers to comply. If you've called in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, he's indwelt you with his Holy Spirit, you must comply. Now, it can either come across as you're having your arm twisted Are you being forced into a corner, or you're looking at Jesus and saying, Jesus is all the world to me. I have no better friend. He calls, I will follow. Like Isaiah in Isaiah 6, here am I, Lord, send me. Comply with the text. This is part of preparing for tomorrow. Having this vision cast before us is to comprehend the fact that this text is a command for all believers, not just first century believers, but for 21st century believers. And we must comply with it. It's to be instantaneously, because he says, when you receive, that you will, when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, well, every person here today who's named the name of Christ and trusted in him as Savior has been indwelt that moment with the Holy Spirit. You are already empowered to do that work. Therefore, you are already, we are already responsible to do that work. That service unto Jesus. And so, there's a third part that I see here, and that is to coordinate our target. The target for these first century believers was to go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then unto the uttermost part of the earth. And probably, as many conservative Bible commentators state in their commentaries, that what was in view here was getting to Rome. First century target for the uttermost parts of the world was Rome. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, Rome. And by the time we get to the end of our reading of the book of Acts, we find that that's where we have landed, with Paul in Rome. The gospel was fulfilled in the first layer, and now, 20-some centuries later, here we are. Where's our Jerusalem? Where's our Judea? Where's our Samaria? Where's our uttermost part of the world? We have to comply. If we bow out of this as our vision for the future, we are bowing out of a future as a local New Testament church. This cannot be considered an option for us. This is not somebody else's business. This is the business that our Savior gave to every one of us to share, to be a witness, to be a martyr for Christ, dead to self, alive to him. And again, if we don't understand where our Jerusalem is, I'm going to help us remember or to learn what that Jerusalem is just for the next few moments. We must focus, focus, focus. If we are to comply and to coordinate this target for us, we must focus on 25 Gaul Road in Sinking Spring, Pennsylvania. We need to be thinking in terms of doing what it takes to help reach the unsaved with the gospel. Some of you have shared with me your burden for your neighbor and your desire to get the gospel to them and handing out tracts to certain people. That's what this is. That's what this is. As a church, attempting to develop something not so strict and confined and put into a fancy little box, but developing a process, a path in which you and I will be able to provide a deeper understanding of the Scripture through things like discipleship and education, biblical education. God calling his people in full-time ministry here is of paramount importance. I believe this is one of the reasons why local churches die, because they have no vision for the future. They're just hanging on to the end of the rope with a big knot at the end saying, I hope we get through the next year. It doesn't have to be that way. As long as God is on the throne and we're seeking to obey him and to be actively sharing as a witness of Jesus Christ, the gospel message, things will happen. Things will happen to you. You will draw closer to the Lord. You will dive deeper into your scriptures because people are asking questions or they're casting doubt on what you are saying from the scripture. Maranatha Baptist Church should be a place where people can learn to understand the scripture. This is not the saving house. This is the house of worship. This is the training ground to send out the troops in sharing the gospel. Disciple more men for our ushering, greeting ministry. You say, how does witnessing fit into ushering and greeting? Who's the first person you see when you come into this building? It's who's ever got the bulletin and their greeting. That is a first step, first level witnessing opportunity. I shared with some of the folks Wednesday night that I've been reminded of something that I was taught early on in my ministry, and that is one of the greatest ministry opportunities that we have as a local church happens between those double doors, the foyer ministry. When visitors come, there's an opportunity to seize the moment. You say, well, yeah, but they're always looking to get out. Guess what? We've got two other doors. Get to the doors. And then they're forced to come and greet you as you go out. All kinds of ministry opportunities. Sometimes we overcomplicate things. Think of ministry as discipleship as well. Witnessing, discipling, they go hand in hand. They're the bolt and the nut going, working together. When we think of ministry too as general cleaning, that's a visible testimony of something happening as people drive by. Nowadays, they're looking over to see how much those buildings over there are being completed. But that's okay. There are things that we can do to draw attention to the work of the ministry here. Greeting, assisting people in the parking lot, that's one thing I'm particularly burdened about. So many of you are having to park half a mile down the way from the front doors. Having something where people can just pull up, walk in, and somebody else park their car. Certainly at least have an umbrella to help people in when it's raining out or it's snowing. Didn't mean to say that word again, but we're still in that season. Laying out a plan that will assist us in a future transition and for more growth. You see, this all comes out of Acts 1:8? Certainly does. Because when we start turning the pages from Acts chapter 1 to Acts chapter 2, and then we get into Acts chapter 3, we start seeing movement of people getting saved, and now groups of people coming together with the purpose of not just having casual gatherings, but with the purpose of establishing vibrant local New Testament churches with the designated offices of pastor and deacon. Organized, and I know that's a buzzword today, but organized, orderly, decent, local church established ministries. Every local church needs to consider as one of their first goals is being self-supporting, able to support themselves and grow and see that ministry grow within and expand out. One of the things that we talked about in our annual meeting was the update of the restrooms. So why would you put so much attention to that? Because visitors go into restrooms. Not that the rest of you don't matter, but visitors go into restrooms. It's either appealing or it's not. Now, in no way is this a criticism. They are clean. They look wonderful, but they need to be updated. And that will be a part of our ministry outreach. We're talking about the replacing of windows and painting walls and these types of things. All of this has got to be centered in the forward vision of what we're seeking to establish, a testimony of honoring God and bringing glory to His name. Providing extra space when that time is called for. We might have to get rather creative. That would be a wonderful thing, as frustrating as any kind of expansion or any kind of having to readdress your present footprint is. It comes with growth. We need to be thinking about that. You say, well, Pastor, our numbers right now are, don't park yourself in where we are right now. Put your mind on being a functional witness for Christ and watch what God does. By the way, look back down at Acts 1:8. Any promises there? Any, if you do this, then this will happen? Anybody see that? All we see is, ye shall be witnesses, go. But in between Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world, you have this understanding that things will be happening. Things will get happening in Jerusalem. And when those begin to build, then there will be a transfer of movement in sharing the gospel in Judea and then in Samaria. And those things will continue in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria while others are going off into the uttermost parts of the world. But there's no promise for 10, 100, 1,000 more people parking in your local church. But we do know that the Lord is faithful to His promises. And He's not slack concerning His promises. The vision, therefore, must be parking on the truth of our mission. Be a witness for Christ, Christian. Pile as many tracts in your pocketbook or your pocket in your coat as you can with the purpose of praying over them and using them and seeing what God will do. Don't worry if you empty out the track rack. The track rack is meant to be emptied. Use those tools to participate in preparation for tomorrow. Now turn to Romans chapter 12. We're moving from the vision of preparation for tomorrow to now the viability of practically working out these things for the future. And I see Romans chapter 12 a tremendous place of instruction and a place of encouragement. If you understand the book of Romans, you understand that Paul lays that book out with, first of all, a worldwide challenge to all readers. All have sinned. Then the next section of Romans is the understanding of what justification is, being saved, all the blessings and all the concepts of what justification provides for a professing believer. And then the next section is the sanctification aspect. Being made holy as Christ is holy and growing in that holy walk. Spiritual growth. And part of that spiritual growth is centered in chapter 12. We know verses 1 and 2. Maybe some of you also know verse 3. The challenge is to do those things for the Lord, to give of our lives in such a way that it is symbolic of the life of Christ, being living sacrifices that are holy, holy, there's that sanctification, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. And to do so with a humility, which is what verse 3 is addressing. So that by the time we get to verse 9, we're understanding that this aspect of the Christian walk, and again, is part of the vision that's being cast here this morning, is that there is a viability, there is something that needs to be working and sustained. I believe that one of the things that we can embrace wholeheartedly is the words that Paul wrote to the Galatian believers, "Grow not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not." And oh, how prone we are to faint, aren't we? Oh, how prone we are to grow weary. Oh, how prone we are to get frustrated. Oh, how prone we are to have our feelings hurt. I'm not negating the real feeling of being hurt. But it cannot be that which leads us. What leads us is truth and knowing Him and the power of His resurrection. So the practical outworking for the future is sevenfold. And I'm going to give them to you very quickly because my number one enemy on Sundays is still my number one enemy, and that's the clock. In order to accomplish these seven things, we must not look at them as academic. We must consider them as practical and with a forward mindset, not a rearview mirror mindset, a forward mindset. The first one, and this is part of my responsibility as your pastor, I seek to help you grow in your walk with the Lord. I seek to help you bring others to a new or renewed walk with the Lord in and through His Word. And so the first one here is exposition. Exposition is a big word. It simply is talking about exposing, making clear, declaring the truth that is the Word of God. And in this particular sense, it's preaching the whole counsel of God's Word, not just portions of it. Not removing the parts and saying, I really don't think this is going to go over real well, so I'm not going to preach on this. I'm going to preach on something over here. Let's preach on heaven. Everybody wants to hear about heaven. And everybody wants to go there. So we'll talk about the goodness of heaven and all the blessings of that. No, you have to preach the whole counsel, all 66 books. You have to preach Genesis as well as you have to preach Leviticus. And you have to preach Romans as much as we would enjoy preaching from Ephesians. These are all necessary, and that's the line upon line preaching. Secondly, education. Now, some of these things overlap, and this would be one of those that do, but education is creating a place where the Bible instruction is in harmony with true worship. The focal point of preaching is a degree of the worship. The only way to properly show God his worth is to be honest with his word and to declare it honestly as his word. To simply throw out a verse and then throw everything else away and tell a good story and get a few people to shed some tears and then pray a quick prayer and go out the door is not helping anybody, and it's certainly not honoring God. Educate. Bible instruction in harmony with biblical worship. Thirdly, evangelization. That's what we centered on a few moments ago from Acts 1:8. The idea here is to reinforce the biblical mandate. Reinforcing the biblical mandate. All believers, all of us, are to be sharpening our practice of sharing the gospel. There's a lot of fumbling going on early on, I'll be honest with you. And even in sharing the gospel, as long as I've been sharing the gospel, there are still moments with a certain person at a certain time where I'm fumbling coming out of the starting blocks. Because we're on a totally different conversation, and I'm trying to figure out a way in which to tie it in so the gospel can be shared. And sometimes I think it sounds like blah, 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 blah. And you look at them and they're going, you okay? But we don't quit there. We be as honest and biblically truthful and sharpening happens all the time. If you've ever witnessed to somebody, especially if you've witnessed to somebody this week, that would be fresh in your mind. Maybe you got out of the gate a whole lot better than I have. But at the end of the conversation, whether they have bowed their head and prayed and asked Jesus to be their Savior or not, I get back in my vehicle and I go, I should have said this. I shouldn't have said that. I should have. And I go and I torture myself for the whole ride home. And what it does is it drives me to say, okay, I need to pull this in. I need to cut that out. And sharpening. Again, we're not salesmen. I mean, nothing negative about salesmen, but we're not selling anything. We're sharing so that the Holy Spirit of God can convict the heart and convert the soul. Evangelization. Then extension. That is making connections and contacts outside of these walls. How do we do that? It's been very interesting. In our last deacon's meeting, I shared a burden of what are we going to do this summer. We have new children in our church. How do we go about? We've done some evaluating, some reviewing of what happened last year, and then we've had discussions prior to that about things that happened the years before. We are living in a different situation. We are living in different times. So one of the things that came up, much to my glad surprise, was beginning to have a discussion about maybe making something available on our website to where, I mean, I know this may be foreign to many of us, but kids clicking on their computer to connect on the internet is a regular thing. It scares me to death to think that one of my kids, at some of these kids' ages, would just kind of blindly go into onto the internet and travel along the dark path. But to have something on our church website, for as many hits, they call it hits, on our website every month, it seems that there could be an opportunity for kids or their parents with their kids to find something to where the child can click on something, you've heard that term, and there would be some kind of children's corner to where they could learn to make a Bible craft. And while that Bible craft is being explained and built on that as a story, you'd get the Bible story behind it. For instance, making Noah's Ark, and the story of Noah's Ark comes. similar to what we would have going on in children's church or even in our younger Sunday school class. Finding ways to extend the message of God's word beyond these walls. You've heard, have you all heard of YouTube? And if you've not heard of YouTube, there's a zillion and one things on YouTube, and probably 99.9 of them aren't worth a whole lot as far as a believer is concerned. Unless you're trying to figure out how to fix a faucet and that type of thing. And anyway, but several years ago, and I understand that it happened here as well, during COVID, I stumbled on how to have my own YouTube channel. And so I started that, and then people were able to connect on Sundays and Wednesday nights. And if we couldn't have a service for whatever reason, weather, power outage, whatever the case, they could click, get onto my YouTube channel, and they could listen. And then I got immediate interaction. I get texts, I get email responses. I told someone this weekend, I said, I got more response on that than I did preaching in the church service, and I'm seeing the people's faces. But anyway, don't go texting me and saying, I really appreciated that point, or I have a question about that, we need to meet afterwards. But those are the types of things. And the extension of our ministry is important. I even have on my list here radio. You know, there's now internet radio. What a blessing that is to have Abiding Radio or Calvary Broadcasting. You can connect on that. BBN has its online radio to where you could get on there and listen to it. We can't get it down in Stevens like you can up here. So I turn it on my computer or on my phone. People are in that technological mindset these days. How can we utilize that and harness that as part of our vision of reaching our Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria? Then we come to the word expansion. There's a lot of points to this, and I'll not get into all of them because of our time this morning, but as a pastor, as the biblical term of bishop, that one part of the office of a pastor is the administrative part. I'm always thinking, how can we, when the time comes, how can we expand within our ministry? How can we have more directed teaching? How can we, even thinking in a small group Sunday school interaction, much of what happens in the ladies' Bible study, in the men's Bible study time, back and forth interaction, even on Wednesday nights now with our Bible class approach. How can we develop more service opportunities? Not everybody is get up front and talk to people person, though we all should be sharing the gospel again. But some are better one-on-one. What kind of things could happen to expand that? Now, I'm not sure that this was part of the conversation back in the early church, these specific things, but I'm sure that there was discussion among the leadership as to setting up their logistics, setting up posts of areas where perhaps they recognize that there aren't people coming from this particular area. How can we reach them? They're within a driving distance, but they won't come. So how can we get to them? So that's expansion within our ministry. Excavation, utilizing our property. I mean, we've got quite a lot of property here. We're basically nestled and confined to this section here, which is wonderful and great. But what things could be done down the road? What things should be considered as viable ministry that isn't going to cost millions of dollars to erect buildings? I want to put our money where the message of the gospel can get to the people, not in buildings that fall apart. elevation, raising awareness of the name of Maranatha Baptist Church, the place of Maranatha Baptist Church. That's why on everything, almost everything that we hand out, I try to make sure that the name of the church, the website, and or phone number is included. People should see it. People should know it. We would want people to know that. On every flyer that we've been making over the last several months, I want the information of the church on there. When we did the night out in August of last year, everything that we handed out had the church name website on it. And we pray over it. We should be praying. And we can still pray. Lord, there are about 1,000 people who've gotten bags of information over the course of the last 6 months. Lord, help them to pick up one of those things. Maybe something fell underneath a couch somewhere. Help them to clean their living room this week and find that and look at it and read it. Seeds have been scattered all around the night out. I forget how many hundred we had. But there was stuff on the bag, stuff inside the bag. And I'm sure people still have some of that stuff. Lord, help them to pick it up, look for it, investigate it, read it. Elevate who we are, what we are. We're a church that's about Jesus Christ. There is one example of this, and I'll just mention it. It was an article about looking at the church as a garden. It was actually called, "How Can I Start a Gospel Garden?" And what this person was describing was you lay out the area of your Jerusalem, for instance, and where can you plant seeds? And what seeds are you trying to plant? What age groups are you trying to reach? Now, I'm not so much for targeting certain age groups, because that almost sounds like you don't want the other age groups. But again, I'm focused on this Acts 1:8, and in particular, as we get to Romans chapter 12, that whole concept there is to be working in a ministry where we are demonstrating something that is God, not world, not man-oriented, gospel-oriented, to where we are approaching people with the good news that they can have what's wrong with them addressed. What's wrong is sin. And so, in this article, there was a lot of good ideas. I think there was about 6 or 7 things. But the priority was to pray. And that's the thing that I really wanted to put out here, is pray. We have prayer meeting. We pray in our ladies' Bible study. We pray in our men's Bible study. We pray in just about everything that we do. We pray. We need to make prayer a priority with regard to this vision for the future. Not God, help somebody to get saved. God, use me to show one how to be saved. Move me. Grow me that I can share the gospel. And I've said it before, and I'll mention it again this morning. We have what is known as a bridge track. You can take that track, if you're still a little rusty or don't quite have down the order in which to present the gospel, you can take that track and flip the page and explain it to them. You doubt me? Take one home with you and practice in the mirror. You can do it. You can do it. As preacher boys, every Wednesday we would come together. And before we got started in our preacher boys class, 1,000+ of us would stand and sing, "Souls for Jesus is our battle cry. Souls for Jesus will fight until we die. We never will give in. While souls are lost in sin, souls for Jesus is our battle cry." That's the cry of the church. Souls for Jesus is our battle cry. You are a soul. Jesus saved your soul. Now it's your privilege to share that soul-saving message and participate in the viable work of the outworking of ministry for tomorrow. I'm going to give you the last point, fill in the blanks, and then we'll be done. And perhaps we'll have to do something next Sunday afternoon to kind of finish this off without feeling like we're just leaving it hanging here. Participate today with tomorrow in view. Did you all look at your bulletin this morning? Did you look at the front? Go ahead and take a look at it. Isn't that a pretty church? Well, it was a pretty church. There was a similar church that was about 3 miles north of where I was pastoring in Western New York. I had a director of one of the mission boards with us. He was doing a week of meetings, and we were heading up to a pastor's conference up in the Buffalo area. And we were driving by, and he said, "Was that a Baptist church?" I said, "I don't know." I said, "This is the only picture of the church that I've ever seen. I've never seen it when the windows are open, the doors are open, and people going in and out. Never seen it with cars parked there. I've never seen the lights on." He says, "When we come back, you take a picture for me. I've got an article I'm going to write." And he wrote the article. And the gist of his article was, any church at any time can end up like this. The reason why a church ends up like this is because they lost the vision. They got preoccupied with personalities, hurt feelings. They got occupied with life, busyness, recreation. And like a grapevine, the grapes die on the vine when the vine dresser isn't paying attention. It's a reminder for us that this isn't our motivation. This is just a reminder that if God doesn't see that there is a passion for this type of ministry, He will close it. He's the one who removes candlesticks. He's the one that puts candlesticks in places where He knows that candlestick will prosper. First Corinthians 16, 13 and 14 says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Let all things be done with charity." I see that as a summary of what we read this morning in our scripture reading in Romans chapter 12. Now, there's a lot more fine details in the Romans passage, and again, I think I may address that in part next Sunday afternoon. But if we're going to be equipped, we need to watch. That's what goes next to equip. Watch. "Watch ye" literally means be vigilant and expectant. But we have to alert ourselves to that. We need to equip ourselves. What am I vigilant toward? Doing what honors God. What am I supposed to be expecting? That when I share the gospel, God, the Holy Spirit, will work. It's not just our words. It's His word. And then engage. Stand fast. That means to hold one's ground in the faith. How easy it is for us to get lazy and slip away. Stand fast. Adhere to the totality of the faith of Jesus Christ. And then exhort. The exhortation here is to quit you like men. Now, ladies, you're included in this too, but it means play the man. And oh my, how churches today need men to be the men. How churches need men to stand, to lead, to love, to encourage. And ladies, you can be the woman, the godly woman. The sweet and humble spirit, yet the supportive and strong stand and conviction for the Lord Jesus Christ. Quit you like men. And then evangelize. I see that last phrase, let all things, all your things be done in charity. If we truly love the Lord, we will love those whom He loves. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, because you shared the gospel, you who are a witness, representing the truth, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. The way to keep this before us is to invest in praying about it. Invest in praying for it. Invest in praying for one another. And invest in praying for yourself as you seek to be a witness for the Lord. This time next year will be about 2.5 years through what I've proposed is a 10-year plan. I have a copy of 4 of those years. If you're interested, I'll take them with you and take them with me and hand them to you. But a 10-year goal is simply this, a vision. Knowing that God's in control. He wants to not have something happen. We push it aside, push it down to the next year and the next year and the next year. And it may or may not be something He wants us to do. I don't know if you plan that way in your home. I don't know if you budget that way. But let me simply ask this. What are you invested in at Maranatha Baptist Church? What is your vision for you and your relationship to Maranatha Baptist Church, which, by the way, again, seeks to be a ministry that honors only the Lord and esteems His word. Everything else really doesn't matter. Pray. Participate. Be ready to share. The church calendar is a portion of that vision. If you've gotten a copy of it, look that over. Recognize what we're trying to emphasize. Feel free to collaborate, share. Have you thought about this? Certainly, we'll write it down and we'll consider. Lord, is this something that we can do with where we're at, with the personnel that we have? To God be the glory. Great things He has done. May God get the glory for what things He will do in and through each and every one of us as we seek to carry out the vision for what God wants to do in reaching people with the saving message that Jesus saves. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I ask that You will help each and every one of us here today to recognize the importance of our part in taking Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and making it our own. Lord, help us to work through the fear. Help us to work through the frustration. Help us to work through all the human things that many times bog us down and paralyze us from obeying. Help us to pray. Lord, help us to recognize that just doing things in our own strength doesn't measure up to what you expect. You want us to depend on you as much as you want us to obey you. So help us to accomplish that. Help us as we look forward to a bright tomorrow, as we enjoy the wonderfulness of today. Help us to embrace this vision. Help us, Lord, to be a part of the viability aspect of practically working these things out for the future. And then as we look at the course of participating, Lord, there are some folks here that perhaps need to begin praying and asking you about joining, to be an active participant at Maranatha Baptist Church. There are some who are members, Lord, that perhaps need to say, how can I fit into this? What can I do to be more helpful, more useful in reaching souls for Jesus through Maranatha Baptist Church? Lord, may our one desire be to trust you to use us effectively and to obey you with our hands off and letting you lead. For we pray.